Luke chapter number 10. You pray the Lord help us for a few minutes of time. I want to give you the message God's laid on our heart. Bible begins, and we'll begin reading in verse number 30. Very familiar passage of Scripture, and we're interested in one verse, but for the sake of the message, we want to read the entire passage. Bible says in verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on him, and Bible said, and passed by on the other side. Bible said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Set him on his beast, and he brought him to an inn. Took care of him, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to be the host. Said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd focus our minds and focus our hearts on the Word of God. Father, I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, for this passage. And God, I know, Lord, that I'm not, God, the best vessel this morning. But Father, I pray, I come to you empty and I ask you to fill me, Lord. God, fill up my mouth and fill up my thoughts. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to minister to these good people out of the passage of Scripture. Father, I pray, Lord, take all of my random thoughts and God, I pray, take my little feeble mind. And God, I pray, Lord, would you bring it together for your glory and for your honor. And God, we pray today that, Lord, that our soul focus would be to uplift and to edify you. And I pray, God, would you do that to the saints of God. And God, I pray, Lord, would you call sinners to yourself. And Father, I pray, Lord, I'm asking you. You said you have not, and because you asked not. And so I ask you, Lord, and God, would you put us in that special place. And God, that shadow underneath the wings of the Almighty. And God, I pray, Lord, help us today not just to preach, but, and God, to have joy in bringing the message that God you've laid to our heart. I ask you to help us humbly, Lord, in Christ's name and for His sake alone. I do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm interested in verse number 34. Bible says it like this. He went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He set him on his own beast. And then notice the Bible saying, he brought him to an inn. If the Lord would help us for a few moments of time, I'd like to preach on some things you'll find at the inn. And some things you'll find at the inn. I thought as you look at this passage of Scripture, what we know about it is that this man was on a road down. And we find that he was on a road down spiritually. As he had left from up in Jerusalem and was heading to the cursed city, we find he was on a road down physically, as the Bible says that they had beaten him and left him for half dead. We find he was on a road down financially, and dear God, as he no longer had the raiment that he once had, but in spite of everything that they done, and when that Samaritan found him, he brought him unto an end. And dear friend, the Lord help us today. I'd like to preach on that end. And this end in this passage of Scripture and throughout all the verses we'll look at this morning is indicative and representative of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this man, whenever he was found, and dear God, in his womb, and dear God, when he was found half naked and left half dead, and the Bible said they brought him
and to thee. And thank God there's a church for it. I'm glad, dear God, that no matter what way you might find me, you can get me to the house of God. It's going to be all right for it. Amen. And so I thought about, and first thing I thought was about the people that are going to the inn. And whenever you look up this word inn, it's a place set aside for lodging. And when you find an inn, and most oftentimes they're out in the countryside. But the people who are looking to come to the inn, and they ain't wanting to live there, friend, and they just wanting to stay there for a little while. I say, thank God. Amen. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a place, and on our journey, as we're traveling through, and dear God, the wilderness of this world, I'm glad there's a place that He set aside and that I can come to. I can just rest for a little while. I know, bless God, I may not be able to get a stay all the time. I know, bless God, I may not be able to just stay right in the house of God. But I sure am thankful with everything that's in me. And that maybe, dear friend, whatever's going on out there's one thing. I'm glad God set up an inn, and where I'm traveling through and some little places by and by, and that I might come into. And then I thought about, and the purpose of that inn, and was to be able to find a place of rest and a place of refreshment. Amen. And that sounds like the church to me, bless God. I'm glad I can come in the place and where I've labored and fought, as I know many of you have, and with everything that's in you. I was telling there some things, and there's so many things going on in my mind and in my heart, and dear God, it just about bears my spirit down. But I'm glad that when I can come into the house of God, it's a place of rest. I'm glad there may be a battle back outside those walls, but while I'm inside here for a little while, I'm just going to rest on the promises of Almighty God. I'm just going to sit back for a while and be reminded one more time that I serve the God of all glory. And dear friend, that everything's still in His hand. I'm just going to rest in that. I know that our minds get twisted, and our hearts get twisted, and our souls get twisted. And thank God they sometimes, I just get to come and just rest. Amen. Listen to the songs of Zion and be reminded that I'm still on that way, and that there is still power in the blood. I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But then I thought about, I'm the proprietor of the inn, and that is to say, I'm the innkeeper. You understand, in the inn in the Old Testament, and dear God, in early English days, and there wasn't a lobby like we think of today. But what essentially happened was, you knocked on a door, and the innkeeper came to the door. He looked you over real good and decided whether you was worthy to come in and to the inn. And if he thought you was a good tenant, he'd open the door and say, come spend a night a while. Hey, I'm thankful the Bible says, all and that God hath given unto me shall come unto me, and all that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Hey, listen, when I come to the church, amen, I'm glad, dear friend, when there's a knock at the door and the innkeeper opens up, I'm glad as he searches over every heart. Amen, maybe the clothes aren't the best, and let's get beyond that a little while. Maybe my soul's not in the best shape, and maybe my spirit's not in the best shape, and maybe my mind's not in the best shape, but I'm thankful I've got the blessed promise. He will not cast me out. Amen. I'm glad the doors of the inn are forever open, and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for the church. Amen. I thought, bless God, I want you to hear me. And there's a price to be paid, and you don't get to stay in the inn for free. Amen. And there's a price to be paid, and don't get to just walk in and, dear God, lay yourself up there and say, friend, I'd like to stay for free. free. But I'm thankful whenever you come to the end of the church and the price has already been paid for. Man, God's already satisfied it. I'm not coming in having to give a dime. Man, I'm not coming in under my own merits. I don't have to pay somebody to get a sit down on a pew. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ established the church, opened the church up, and the price has been paid. And friends, stay as long as you'd like until you get back to where you're healthy again. I'm thankful for the end. Amen. So the first thing I thought we find here at this end, and dear friend, is we find that it is a place of refuge for the wounded traveler. It's a place of refuge. I'm glad. Hey, listen, you know what's good about church? Ain't no commercials in church, amen. And you ain't got to see all the filth of the world. And there ain't no worldly music. And there ain't no worldly words. And there ain't no worldly attire. And that's what makes the church so good. And when I come into the church, and dear friend, I want you to listen to me. We're all prone to be wounded like this man was. I'm talking about, listen, and this man first found himself and getting a refuge, a help from the things of the world. I'm telling you, there's a God of this world, and dear God, who's blinded the minds of them that believe not, unless the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto thee. And whenever I walk out those doors, I am treading on the property of the little g, the God of this world, and the prince and the power of the air. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And that's why we understand, and that, dear God, in this world, amen, and we shall have tribulation. And thank God, dear friend, hear me. And whenever we're down in this place, and we're prone to be wounded, and we're prone to get some hits, and to take some licks, and to be down and out. And so I say thank God. Amen. And thank God for the end. Amen. I'll tell you, whenever this fellow was down there, I don't know how bad, the Bible doesn't say. All I know about him was that he was wounded. And that's all that I know, TJ. It doesn't say how deep his wound was, but I know it was a wound nigh unto death. Amen. When he said, hey, he didn't ask him if he had any friends or family to stay with. He said, I'm going to take him to the end. I don't know, friend, where you at this morning, but I'm glad, praise God, I've came in the house of God many a times, wounded beyond what you could realize, but thank God there was a place that I could come to where they'd preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now listen, and the Bible says they poured a little oil and they poured a little wine in his wound, and that might have helped his wound, but it don't do nothing for mine. But you preach about the blood of the Lord Jesus for a little while. Amen. Remind me one more time how the spear pierced his side and forthwith came out blood and water. Remind me one more time, friend, and that he was tempted in all points like as we are. Remind me one more time and that he endured everything I've endured and that I might come. I say hallelujah, friend. I'll tell you, this man didn't leave until his wound was fixed. Amen. He got wounded. I'm glad that it's a refuge for the wounded from the world. But it's also a refuge from the way he was a-going. I want you to notice the Bible said he was a-going down, friend. And the Bible teaches us he was in the city of peace, but he was going to Jericho. And the Bible teaches us, friend, in Romans chapter 3, it says the way of peace have they not known. I'm glad that when I come here, it's a refuge. You understand. And dear God, we didn't gather to talk about deer hunting, and we didn't gather to talk about bass fishing, and we didn't gather to talk about basketball games or football games, and that wouldn't make this place a refuge. What makes it a refuge is when you walk in here, and you know there's only one thing that's going to matter, only one name that's going to be lifted up. Everybody's on the same page, and we're not going to sing honky-tonk songs, and we ain't going to sing Dear God Bless God Rock and Roll songs. songs, and we're going to sing out of a song book and the song. And you know what makes a song good is when you drop that G off of it and it's about the S-O-N. And when you get to singing about the S-O-N, all you can do is walk away saying, man, that's good. Amen. I'm telling you, that's why I come to the house of God and lift up a Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't know about you, but when I'm wounded, and tell me again about how the Lord Jesus suffered, and remind me again about how he bared my stripes, and remind me again about how he was wounded and yet he carried the cross, and remind me again about how he was spit upon, and remind me again about how they took a reed and smote him on the head, and remind me again about how they plucked the beard off of his face. But don't stop telling the story there, and remind me again of how he prayed, and Father, forgive them. Remind me again, friend, about how he dismissed his own spirit. But don't stop the story there. Remind me again how they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Amen. Remind me again how they put soldiers all around it. But remind me, dear friend, that on the third day, bless God, he was no longer there. Remind me that he might have been wounded for a little while, but he rose up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And take me to the end, friend. Remind me and bless God that this is a place of refuge. Amen. It's a place of refuge. I thought, bless God, it's a place of refuge for the weary traveler. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter number 4. I want you to notice what the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 4. And you'll find these words recorded again. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 4, in verse number 24, it says, and it came unto pass by the way in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut it off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely thou art a bloody husband, and surely a bloody husband art thou to me. In verse 26, she says, and so he let him go. And then she said, a bloody husband and thou art because of the circumcision. And dear friend, it's not only a place of refuge for the weary, and dear God, for the weary traveler or for the wounded traveler, but it's also a place of removal for the wayward saint. And what you find in this passage is, and God has been preparing Moses to go down into Egypt and to take him a gospel. But he said, hey, listen, look here, Moses, you have neglected something. And the Bible says, and the Lord met him. And not every time, now listen, and listen, friend, not every time and does the Lord meet with us to bless us. And sometimes the Lord meets with us and to chasten us and to remove some things out of our life. You understand, he cares deeply, and that our testimony is a testimony, and that we'll not bring reproach upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if there's some things in your life and that ought to be removed, oh, Moses was going on. He was saying, hey, listen, I'm the man. I'm going down into Egypt, and we are leading them out to the other side. But when he started heading that way, he stopped at an inn. And while he stopped down and sat down and rested a while at the inn, and God said, hey, Moses, and there's some things that ain't right in your life. And let me just stop and say, thank God. And God takes notice of what's going on in your life. And don't you think for a second, friend, and that the God of all glory, the one that suffered and bled and died on a cross and to redeem you out of hell, don't you think for a second and that he does not notice if things aren't right in your life. And you say, preacher, he ain't seen me. Well, you just ask Achan, amen, if he saw his sin that was buried underneath the tent. And you ask Ananias and Sapphira, and dear God, if he noticed them whenever they lied to the Holy Ghost. I ask old Peter if he looked at him after he had denied him. And dear friend, ask old Judas if he knew what was in his heart well before it was ever in his heart. I'm telling you, the God of all glory, and that knows the end from the beginning, he knows where you're at today. And sometimes I come to the end for refuge, but sometimes when I show up at the end, it's a place that God intends to remove some things from my life. Amen. And notice the Bible said, and dear God, she came to the end, and that the Lord met him. And notice the Bible says, and sought and to kill him. And you say, preacher, you believe God would have killed Moses? Amen. As much as I believe God would kill me or you, amen. I'm telling you, dear friend, and if you're going to bring reproach upon the name of God, I say, Lord, just go ahead and take me out anyhow. Amen. I'm telling you, dear friend, I wouldn't want to blaspheme or be a reason somebody could blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was God's representative of the law. And dear God, if he's going to be a representative of the law, he ought to live accordingly, dear God. I'm going to tell you, we're priests and kings unto the people out here based on God the Father. And if God's made us priests and kings, we ought to live by what the book says. Amen. Amen, praise God. And so sometimes when you come to the house of God and you think God didn't see you drink that beer, or you think God didn't see you say that curse word, or you think, dear God, God didn't see what you did with your friends or what you did with your neighbor, I'm telling you, when you come to the house of God, amen, somewhere God just looks beyond what you're doing and looks you eyeball to eyeball and says, I know what's going on in your life. Amen. Notice the Bible says, when he took notice of that place. Amen. I like what the Word of God. In verse 25 at the end, it says, Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it down at his feet. And what she was doing was in accordance with what God's Word had already said. I'll tell you what is good, friend, is just to let God's Word be what it's supposed to be, and let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And might the Word of God shine down on me and show me where I messed up and show me where I come up short. And might God's Word be that sharp two-edged sword and that pierce down and the dividing asunder. And if these things wrong in our life that hinder our church or hinder our walk, might we cut them out, friend, as Zipporah did right here. And you say, preacher, my heart's a little past that. I'm a little too hard for that. And might you find that God's Word is a hammer and that breaketh in pieces, friend. I'm telling you, thank God, bring them to the end and don't cast them out of it, but keep bringing them to the house of God. And you say, bless God, and God's Word doesn't have an effect on me. Amen. It's got more of an effect than what you'd like to admit. Amen. And God's Word, just little by little, amen, it penetrates the mind and it penetrates the heart. I say, thank God, bless God. And you can sit here and smile or do whatever, but when God puts you on notice, friend, you ought to get it right with him. Amen. Notice how this story ends. I love this passage of Scripture. And the Bible says in verse 26, and when he did what he needed to do, it says, so he let him go. Hallelujah. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying he left the inn and different than he came into it. Hell, hey, somebody ought to get with me. I'm thankful. And then when I come into the end sometimes and the Word of God comes down and shows me where I'm wrong or where I messed up in my life, if I'll just submit to God's Word and take my place and say, God, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I find every time God will let you go. And dear God, and when he lets you go, it's always better than the way you came in. I've came into church many a time, amen, set back there with a sullen look on my face. I'm mad at the world and mad at God. I'm in a sinful condition, but the Word of God kept coming. I don't know what I was resistant, but I'll tell you this, when I came down, amen, and said, God, I'm sorry, bless God, in an instant God restored my joy and sent me out of the place better than when I came into it. We got folks trying to come into the inn without ever getting fixed the things that are wrong. Being in the inn itself won't do that. But if you'll let God, he'll fix you. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis 42. Genesis 42. You pray for us, Lord, help us here. I like this part. Oh, we find that it is a place of refuge for the wounded traveler. It's a place of removal for the wayward saint.
It's also a place of refreshing for the weary people. Anybody else weary? I'm telling you. Some weeks, just more than you can bear, ain't it, brother? Sometimes you show up to the house of God and you're so weary from the battle that it's hard to even enjoy the service. But you come anyhow. Why is it you keep coming back to the end? I don't know when, Donnie. There's been some times I've said to Brother TJ, I prayed for you this week. But there's some times you come into the house of God and maybe you just ain't got all the spirit in order to worship like you ought to. But friend, you keep coming on account of you know there's a place of refreshing coming. And when you come into the house of God, I'm glad there's times that I ain't had. I'm telling you, dear friend, I ain't had a thing to put in. I barely made myself be able to come in. But the God of all glory, according to His riches of grace, met with me anyhow. I want you to notice what this passage said. In verse 25, Genesis 42, verse 25, it said, then Joseph commanded and to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus he did unto them. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, in the end he espied his money, and for behold it was in his sack's mouth. And this old fellow, when he showed up that day, and dear God, it was a time of drought in the land of Israel, and we find that Joseph and Jacob and all their brothers were just about to wilt away, and the sun had came down and dried up their fruits, and dear God, and they had to go down to this place. But I want you to notice three things that happened. And when they got down there, they met a man named Joseph, and he commanded to fill their sack. And the first thing we find in this passage is that there was a command and that they did not know anything about. I say thank God for it. And when we come to the house of God, and there's oftentimes a command and that we don't know anything else about, although our hearts might be low, and the God of all glory has already sent out word and to give us a need and to give us a word and to meet where we're at. I'm glad there's times, there's commands I don't know nothing about. He commanded they'd be filled. Boy, hadn't had a blessing. Then notice the Bible says there was not only a proclamation they didn't know nothing about, but there was a payment they didn't expect. When they got to the end, they expected their money was gone. But when they reached down in their pocket and pulled it out, they found out God had restored them everything they needed. Now they didn't know anything about how it happened. All they know is they showed up at the end. But there was one that was on the other side of the end. There was the innkeeper down in Egypt who said, you give them back all their money. He said, fill up all their sacks. Hey man, they didn't know nothing about it, and they didn't ask for it, and they had not earned it. But the innkeeper said, and they look like they're wearied from their journey, and they need a little refreshing in the way. And so as they showed up that day, he commanded that their money give back to them, and that their sacks would be filled. I begin to think about how many times I've came in empty, and I've left out full. Amen. How many times I came in, dear God, and not thinking I had enough, but I left up, filled up, bless God, ready, amen, to fight the fight. Notice what he says. And he gave them provision for the way. There's a proclamation they didn't know about. There was a payment they didn't expect. And there was provisions they did not ask for. You say, preacher, why do you come to the end? Sometimes, Jeff, everything's fine in my life right now.
Yeah.
But I come to the end because I'm on the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what next week's going to hold. Praise God. But I come to the end because God's going to say, I know what a Kevin's going to face next week. I know what he's going to go through in the next month. And he said he didn't ask for it on account of he didn't know to. But I'm going to give him a little something for the way that's ahead of it. I say hallelujah to God, friend. I'm glad I keep coming back to church. And because more than one occasion, a matter of fact, more than I could ever count on, I've came to the house of God and the man of God stood and preached. And the word of God's been read and a testimony's been given and an individual song's been sung. And dear God, out in the middle of the way, in the middle of the week, whatever, and the enemy shows up and the flames of hell start and pouring down around my soul, thank God, I can remember that God's already given me provisions for the way that I'm in. I say, thank God I'm not serving a God who is reactionary. He doesn't wait till my problem comes and then scramble to figure out what he's going to do. But I'm serving a God, bless God, and that already knows what the end is. And in order to do it, he brings everything in accordingly. Then there's one last one. And that's in Luke chapter 2. There's four ends in the Bible. And we find in this last one, this is what the Bible says. Verse number 4 of chapter 2 of Luke. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Isn't it something that it can be a place of refuge and removal? It can be a place of refreshing. But there's also many people that sit in the place of the inn and they say, we got no room for Jesus. Boy, got room for everything else. Got room for, that same phrase, there's no room for Jesus in the inn. It might as well be written up above White House, there is no room for Jesus. Might as well be written up in the Supreme Courthouse, and there is no room for Jesus here. And might as well be written up above the schoolhouse, and there ain't no room for Jesus here. And it might as well be written up among a lot of church houses, and there ain't no room for Jesus here. But I say, bless God, if there ain't room for nobody else, I'm glad if there ain't room for me and there ain't room for you. And we ought to do whatever we can to make sure we've got room for Jesus. Amen. This is the biggest one I've had to do this with. But as I sat here and I looked, I thought he was placed in this manger because there was no room in the inn. And I started thinking about how many beasts, how many animals, how many stinking sheep had eaten where he was laid at. He could have been born in the inn, but it was too full for him. But instead he was put down in a manger so that whenever I recognized my sinful condition and I said, oh God, I'm like the beast of the field. I'm no better, no worse. I've feeded on filth, fed filth, I've been filth. He said, listen, I made a way so that whosoever will, whoever, amen, I'm glad, thank God. You may not have room in your heart for Jesus this morning. You say, preacher, I'm full. I'm full of all the things of the world. I'm full of my desires and my lusts and my wants. But if you'll keep coming to the end, you'll find out this is a place where there's room for Jesus. Yes, sir. I'm not interested in, the Lord knows my heart, I ain't interested in you leaving here interested in talking about me or talking about our church. I'm interested when you leave here talking about the Son of God.
Amen, preacher.
I don't know where you're at. You can't have any refreshment or refuge. There's not any removal if you first ain't got room for Jesus.